Revelation, the second chapter, is where we're going to start today. Revelation's the second chapter. I do want to take a couple of minutes and just say our God is good. I thank the Lord for each and every one of your prayers. He is truly is good to each and every one of us. Before we get going too much, I do want to just, everywhere I'm going, I'm telling about, you know, you can, when God does a miracle, you just cannot keep it quiet. And it was just a few weeks ago, I was driving to Medina on a Monday, and they're doing a lot of road construction. Is there a lot of road construction around here? There sure is a lot in Medina. And I was going over, and they had a section that was tore up right in the downtown Medina, and I went through it, and as soon as I went through it, my whole vehicle started shaking. It felt like I had a flat tire. And it was just shaking, and of course, going down right through Medina, it's a pretty busy street. You can't really get off much, and I seen a little side street, and so I turned down that side street and seen a parking lot, and so I turned in the parking lot and parked my vehicle and got out to take a look, and my tie rod was laying on the ground. It completely snapped off and was laying on the ground. Now, I know vehicles, and I know that without a tie rod, you can't steer. But I turned it 3 times, 2 to the right and 1 to the left. And when I got out, my vehicle wheels were completely straight. Our God's good. And I had to get a tow truck, and when the tow truck came where I had it parked at, they couldn't get the tow really behind it, so I had to back it up. And I had to take it slow and stop and kick the tires, just get them to keep straight and back it up a little bit more and kick the tires. But I didn't have to do that when I pulled it in. Our God is good today, saints. He is still working. He's still doing miracles. Like I said, everywhere I go, I just got to tell. I even told the tow truck driver, I said, you're not going to believe this. But he goes, where did this happen? Right in here? And I said, no, down the street over there. He goes, how'd you get it here? I said, God. Our God's good today, saints. You know, if we keep where we need to be with God, he will always take care of us. All right, in Revelation's the second chapter, we're going to get going in here. In the very first verse, it says, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he, that holdeth the 7 stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and hast borne, and have patience, and have my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, the Lord today gave me a message on the devil is out to separate us. He wants to separate us from God. And what this was saying is people that can still go out and do the things of God, still the devil can come right on in and separate. That we have to be careful today, saints, that we don't allow the devil to come into our lives and separate us from God. That devil is very good at his job, saints. And you might be doing good today, but it doesn't mean he's not going to be attacking tomorrow. That we have a devil that's going to try to come in, and he just as much in this town of Ephesus over here, it came in. I don't believe that the devil came in blaring trumpets. I believe he came in very quietly. And he worked just a little bit here and a little bit there. And a little bit over there. And a little bit over there to where they got their minds off from God. They were too busy doing all the laboring, different types of things, going through the motions sometimes. Has there ever been times in services where you felt like you just went through the motions? Has there ever been times when you get done with services, you get home, and you can't even remember what you sang, what the preacher preached on? I remember he preached something. It was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of them. My little children, I love them to death. I usually ask them in the car on the way home, "So what was the message, Jod?" And I'll usually get one of them that says, "Love." From little children, I expect that. I know you're all going to say, "Well, Jesus considers us little children, right?" And he does. But I'm going to tell you, the devil can come on in, saints, if we're not careful, and try to separate us from the love of God. Over in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. In Galatians 3:1, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" You know, the devil is trying to come right on in and separate us, saints. People that once had an experience, he said, "Who's bewitched you? Who's allowed, deceived you?" The brother Dishman preached a very good message last night on deception. Who's bewitched you? Who's allowed things to come on in? And saints, if we're not careful, the devil doesn't do it with loud trumpets. He does it by just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And then he works on those things. He starts to cause, even in people's lives, even with a little bit of getting your mind off from the things of God and on to other things. We'll get into a little bit more of them as we're going. It saddens me when I hear people that will get truth, that will get brought forth to them, and they'll turn around and say, "Well, my pastor says this." What does the Word of God say? "But this is what my church believes." I don't care what any church believes. I care what God believes and what God tells me. I said it back home in our local congregation, and I mean it today. It's still a pet peeve when I hear people say, "I do this because that's what the church does." No, you should do it because that's what God wants you to do. It should be the heart and desire of each and every one of us to do what God wants us. We want God to instruct us, God to teach us. But you know, even in this time over here, they started having traditions of man creep on in. Jesus dealt with that with the Pharisees. Traditions of man, ooh, they got after him for healing on the Sabbath, didn't they? You would think it would be a great thing to have to be healed on a Sabbath, wouldn't it? If you were having a heart attack on the Sabbath, wouldn't you want God to come down and heal you? To take care of you, to comfort you in that time? If you were blind, would you care what day it was? If you could get your eyesight back? thank God for the truth. And I do thank God for his glorious church. We are privileged people, saints. I say we're sometimes a little too spoiled. And verse 4 says, have you suffered so many things in vain? Saints, I don't want to do this in vain. I don't believe that each and every one of us here have the intent to do this in vain. We want to see heaven our home. We want to see the final goal. And maybe even see if there's some hills. But that's what we want to see today, don't we? We don't want to do this in vain. I don't want over there in 2 Timothy, that third chapter. But I'm going to tell you, the devil will use man-made religion to separate us from the things of God. I'm not going to cover too much about it. I think the brother did a really good job preaching it last night. But it says having in verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. And I like in verse 7 where it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, the devil tries to come in and separate us from God. He does it through little things. You know, the root of bitterness starts off very small. It starts off very small. But if we don't take care of it right away, it eats at you. Eats. And it brings some friends, doesn't it? It comes in very small in our lives. But if we don't get a hold of it, and we don't take it to God, and we don't let God get rid of that out of our lives, it'll separate us from God. The scripture says you can't hate your brother and love God. I'll get it out. You can't have hate in your heart and love God. What does bitterness do? Comes in, brings hatred towards people. Eats at people. Devil does it so slyly. And there's probably some that deserve it. But what did Jesus say for those that were crucifying him? What did Stephen say? Forgive him. Forgiveness is a very powerful tool that keeps us loving God. But I'm going to add one more into forgiveness. We also have to forgive ourselves. I believe that's the forgiveness people don't talk about too much. But forgiving ourselves. Because the devil attacks us all the time. He's trying to separate us today, saints. He's trying to separate us from the love of God. Trying to separate us as any way that he can. He's the master of division. Some of the things that starts to come into our lives, he puts in to try to separate us. Oh, he paints such a pretty picture. But you really have to constantly seek God's direction. In Matthew's the 6th chapter. He tries to come in to separate us by bringing things into our lives that occupy our time, that get our mind off from the things of God. And one of the things that he likes to do is money. We all want it, and I don't believe any of us have enough of it. But we can't let it overcome the things of God. In verse 19, it says, "Lay not up yourself treasures upon this earth, where moths and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I'm telling you today, the devil wants to separate each and every one of us, and he starts to try to put treasures on this earth. I had somebody tell me, they said, "I don't know why you had 7 children. Because you're not going to be able to get that bass boat. And that expensive car you like." And I said, "Yeah, but a bass boat sinks. And a car breaks down. But my children, that's treasure. That's treasure that when I have a bad day sometimes," because none of us have ever had any of those, right? "When I have a bad day sometimes and I come home and I see one of my children write, 'I love you, Dad,' on sidewalk crayons." God has a way to just take away your bad day real fast. That devil wants to separate. He wants to try to cause things into our life to force us to get our minds on things of this earth. I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but Peter, he went out and worked all night fishing. Didn't catch a thing. Jesus meets him on the shore after his hard day of work and says, "I want you to go back out." That's overtime, saints. He already worked all night long. Now he's got to go back out and work again. But he was obedient. Jesus told them where to cast the nets, and what happened? They had an abundance of fish. An abundance of fish. Now I want you to think about it. That's how he made his income, was it not? That was his job. That's how he made his money. Was on that. And he had the biggest catch of his life. You know he was seeing dollar signs. He brought it all up onto the shore. He was all happy. And what did Jesus say? "Leave it behind. I'll make you fishers of men." And he walked away and followed the Lord. He walked away from the biggest catch, the most money he's ever made in one day. He walked away from to follow the Lord. God blessed. But so many times people get their minds on material possessions. Their homes. Families. These are things that the devil sneaks right on in. Start caring more about them than you do God. It happens. What separates us from the love of God? A lot of times people think it's blatant sin. It's not blatant sin. Devil's not going to be able to get you with going out and drinking tomorrow. But he'll work a little bit with this and a little bit with that. He's not going to get you with a cigarette, is he? But he'll get you with a little bit of families, a little bit starts to become more important. This job becomes a little bit more important. This lifestyle that I have becomes a little bit more important. And he does it subtly, saint. And if we're not careful, we'll do the exact same. But Brother Mike, I got all these types of things I need to take care of. I got all this type of stuff that's out here that I got to get done. I like over in the 33rd verse where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's where your mind needs to be at. That's where your thoughts need to be at. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will take care of you. If you keep your mind steady on him and don't let the devil come on in and try to separate you. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In this world that we're living in, one of the biggest things that I see that the devil is using as a tool is time. He gets us all worked up doing all these types of things all day long. And by the time service comes, you're too tired. It's hard to pay attention. Now, I know that we have to work, but some of that's self-induced. Some of that could be put off a little bit. I've been guilty my own self, so I know what I'm talking about. The devil uses time to come on in. Oh, but we have plenty of time to do other things. But what about the Bible reading? What about your prayer life? What's separating you from God? But Brother Mike, I got this DVR thing that I got going on. That ain't gonna be in heaven. And I know that that internet is time consuming. It's time consuming. Before you know it, you could have 3-4 hours on it. Then if I ask you, did you read your Bible for 3 or 4 hours? I haven't read my Bible today. It's the end of the night, Psalms 117. I'll read that chapter. How about Psalms 119? Gonna read that one? And then you wonder the reasons why you don't feel close to God. Allowing little things to come in. Allowing little things to come on in. You know, when I gave my heart over to God, the very first thing he worked on me with was my language. I was in the military and I had a bad language. And the very first thing that he talked to me about when he said, you need to get, hey, I was actually talking to me prior to even getting saved. He was letting me know that my language had to change. Those swear words aren't going to be around anymore. He doesn't want them around anymore. But allowing little things to come on in. My house, you're not allowed to use that type of language. Amen? I believe each and every one of your house today. What about the books? What about that internet and the things that get taken place? What about those worldly songs? Didn't God get rid of that out of your life? These are things that the devil comes on in that separates us, saints, from the love of God. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just being honest. God convicted us of these things. That means he didn't like it. And I see too many times today people are getting desensitized to sin. And if you're around filthy language long enough, saints, guess what starts to happen? You get mad. You hit your thumb with a hammer. You hear all those words. But I've been serving God for many years. Then you should know better. What is going to separate us from the love of God? And like I said, the devil does it very gently. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. Oh, but you're, and I tell you, the devil likes this one. Oh, you're a seasoned saint. You can handle it. No. Because he's just getting a little bit in. And then a little bit more. And then a little bit more. Allowing this to come into your life. And next thing you know, this other stuff starts to come on in. And then, you know, I'm okay with that. And then this other stuff, even more comes on in. And before you know it, there's no difference between your house and the house next door. Sinners need a place of refuge. They do, saints. They need a place where they can go, and when they walk in your house, they should feel the presence of God. What separates us? And I know that it's just the little bits and little bits that the devil does. Spoils the vine in our time. Have to go over there. Somebody says, hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Bible, and you got to go over and try to find your Bible. Maybe have to dust it off a little bit. And then you turn around at night and you say, wait a minute, have I even talked to God all day? That's a bad place to be. It's the cares of the world that the devil comes right on in and starts getting our minds on everything else, saints. That's what he's good at. That's what he does. He'll get your mind on everything else, and at the end of the day, you'll turn around and say, did I even talk to God today? And then by the time you go to pray, you're too tired. You're too tired. Too exhausted with all the cares of the earth, and most of it had nothing to do with God. But it had everything to do with self. And self-enjoyment. And self-pleasure. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. In verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have to redeem the time we have. The time we have is precious today, saints. Each and every day we have is precious. You might not be seeing the souls being saved as much because you may not be working hard enough. Calling somebody, encouraging somebody. We have this great thing called texting nowadays. Text somebody, say, hey, love and appreciate you, just thinking of you. Hey, just letting you know, we got this camp meeting going on. I'll save you a seat. Whatever happened to compelling people? It works, saints. I remember when we were over at my parents' congregation, Brother Dishman called up my brothers and said, hey, I believe it was like around Mother's Day or something like that, because he used the mother's card. And he said, you know, it'd be really nice if you all did this for your mom. And you want to know what? Both of my brothers were in services. But we're too busy sometimes, right? We got so much to do. We live in a generation where we're always busy. I thought all this modern technology was supposed to be so that we could not have to do as much work. But it seems like it's the opposite, isn't it? Seems like the more things that can do things more faster and instant, the more work we got to do. Or do we put that on ourselves? I believe it's the latter. In Romans, we'll close over here. In Romans, the eighth chapter. What's going to separate us today, saints? From the love of God. In verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations? Tribulations start to come in your lives. That's when the devil starts to tell you, God's not going to do anything. Where's God in the midst of this? Look at the problems you're going through. Where's God? Is tribulations going to separate you, saints? How about distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But I like this verse 37. Because this gives us hope. We don't have to let the devil separate us today, saints. We don't have to sit there and give in to the devil today. We don't have to do it. Because it tells me over here in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can have victory today, saints. You don't have to, even if the devil may have tried to get a little bit of slipped a little something into your life, you don't have to keep it there. If he brought a little bit of something in and you said, well, yeah, I just didn't realize how the devil worked that in. You know, he deceived Eve. But you don't have to sit there and continue being deceived. Once God shows it to you, you can become conquerors. That's where the victory comes in, saints. That's when you can get up and say, I got some victory today. I got some victory today. You don't have to stay in that condition. You stay in that condition because you want to stay in that condition. When God talks to you and tells you, I want that out of your life, saints, guess what? Get it out. And then you can have some victory. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, verse 38, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That should be our heart today, saints. That should be the way how we think today. We're not going to let the devil come into our lives and try to separate us today. We're not going to let these things, when he starts to paint this pretty picture, we're going to rip it up in front of his face and toss it. And said, I know what God told me. I know what God delivered me from. And I ain't going back. I woke up last Sunday morning. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. And God had a song in my heart. And I don't usually wake up that early. But God put a song in my heart. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Each day we should have that as a song in our hearts. I'm not going to let the devil today come in and separate me from God. And if he's worked a little bit of separation, God wants to bring you back. Are you going to have victory today? Let us stand.